Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Now, here are your hosts, Vince Petrano and Telly Hughes.
8:13 on Wisconsin's Morning News. As I have played for you before, Wisconsin's Morning News is in the record of an official city hearing as the Public Transportation Utilities and Waterways Review Board held a hearing on a proposal I've detailed, in my opinion, as entirely not feasible and a waste of time exploring.
When I woke up this morning and turned on the radio, WTMJ was laughing about this very hearing.
Now, clearly, that is testimony before the board from someone who disagrees with me, Telly. Right,
you don't say.
Just part of an hours-long proceeding during which it is fair to say, save for one person, everyone who testified disagrees with me. The idea is to get the city of Milwaukee off the We Energies power grid and create a city-owned public utility. And the man who started that conversation, won election on that promise, and got his hearing last week is Eastside Alderman Alex Brower. And Alderman Brower joins us live in studio this morning. Morning, Alderman.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for having me on this morning.
It's good of you to come in and talk about this. So if I were writing a book, Alderman, what I would do is I would begin first on background, reasons for your desired outcome, and then get more into the details of how this ultimately would be accomplished. If time allows, we'll get to the former. But I have said, my thought is we don't have to have any of those conversations unless we've gotten to the estimate on comparably sized efforts that is moving this model, either by creating your own infrastructure or buying assets from We Energies. By my estimation, would cost in the neighborhood of $4 billion. So I've suggested that we don't have to answer any other questions until we answer that question. So can we get into that first? Where would the city come up with the billions of dollars that may be necessary to do this?
Yeah, let's dive right in. And first, I'll just say that our main objective is affordability here. Affordability, democracy, and tackling the climate crisis with this effort. The campaign's called Power to the People, powertothepeoplemke.org. But let's dive right in, because I think skepticism is a healthy thing. When people hear about this, they want to know some details, just like what you're talking about. And what the city of Milwaukee would do, just like other cities that have accomplished this in the past or recently, the city would use a financial instrument called a revenue bond to purchase the assets of We Energies. There may need to be some restructuring of the grid, but to answer something you brought up in your comments, this would be a purchasing of the existing infrastructure that We Energies has within the city limits, or potentially some outside of it. The exact boundaries of what we would purchase and the actual final cost do get litigated before the Public Service Commission. So this is one aspect of the statute that allows us to do this. The statute being Chapter 197 of the Wisconsin State Statutes allows the city to do this. This is one aspect of the statute that maybe might appear to some regular folks as backwards, in that we do have to have a referendum in Milwaukee before this hearing happens at the Public Service Commission to determine the final asset valuation and the price the city would pay. And it's a huge question that we do need to answer. We may not be able to answer it before the referendum, the exact price, because like I said, it'll get litigated. And then whatever the city is going to argue, that we should pay the best price for We Energies' degrading infrastructure, and there should be definitely a lot of depreciation factored into what we're doing when we make a purchase of their infrastructure. We Energies, of course, is going to argue that we should pay top dollar brand new prices for their infrastructure, and we may fall somewhere in there. And then, of course, We Energies would have a right, and they probably will exercise this to take us to court after that. And
do
claim.
You think, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, please.
Do you think I'm in the neighborhood, Alderman, on $4 billion? And I've based that on research. Some communities have already conducted feasibility studies. San Diego is one that I've cited. Okay. Their feasibility study cost them $3 million to do.
Okay.
They said on the top end they'd be at $8 billion. They're a city about twice the size of Milwaukee. So that's where I come up with that. Ann Arbor, Michigan is another comp that I've looked at. But
other cities that have conducted these and looked at prices have found things that are more in the neighborhood of hundreds of billions of dollars, but I think, or hundreds of millions of dollars, excuse me. But I think that like if you look at that population ratio, Boulder was paying less per person when they'd conducted their feasibility study. Mm-hmm. But I think the main thing is that this will be an investment that the city of Milwaukee will make. I mean, I really do not want to say definitively how much it will cost, because that has to be litigated with experts. We have to evaluate We Energies' infrastructure, and based on their performance in the city of Milwaukee, their infrastructure is very degraded, and we will pay bargain basement prices for it when we litigate it. So I don't want to say definitively that it's going to be $4 billion or $1 billion or 800 million. I mean, it's going to be, I would say it will be a level of investment similar to the Bucks Arena and other major assets that we invest in here in the city of Milwaukee. And what a great asset to invest in, right? The energy infrastructure is so vital to everyone's basic needs. It should be owned collectively is what I'm arguing. I mean, I'm sure that some of your listeners are aware that I ran, supported by the Democratic Socialists of America, and we believe in an affordability agenda. And one of the ways we can achieve that affordability is by cutting out the profit motive from operations that serve everybody, like utilities. I mean, really, We Energy shareholders, I actually have to say I was incorrect at something I said in the hearing. You guys hear it first here on WTMJ. I was incorrect. I claimed at the hearing that We Energies and some of the people claimed that we received that We Energies receives for every $10 spent on your bill, about $1 of it goes to their profits. But actually, I was corrected by an attorney who studies this and follows this, that actually it's closer to 15% of your bill goes to their profits. So it's actually even more than I thought. So one out of every $6 you're paying is going to profits. And what we want to do is, you know, take that profit margin and have it investing in the infrastructure, investing in the workers, and really also just making the decisions ourselves about where we are investing our money, how we're upkeeping the infrastructure so that it can provide the best service to everybody. But the price gets litigated. I mean, you know, valuation is not an exact science. So I don't even, you know, we'll have to see when we come to the PSC and have these litigation hearings. I'll just get one more thought out here, Vince. That when we have these litigation or have these hearings about the valuation, if it turns out to be too much, there's actually a protocol in the statute that would allow the city to back out of this if it ends up being too much money. And we may want to use that, but it's worth continuing down this path, in my opinion.
So how would you, but you talked about doing the bonding and those bonds, I mean, essentially it's a loan, right? So you have to pay, payments on the loan. Mm-hmm. Where even would that come from? Even if you're on the lower end, even if it's only a couple of billions of dollars, so you said, well, we'll use the revenue that we're getting from ratepayers, because obviously they'd be paying the city now instead of We Energies to pay off that. But then who funds the operation of the utility?
Well, all that would be funded by ratepayers. Now, We Energies is currently, you know, they are currently floating bonds as well for all these projects they're building. They're building a more electrical infrastructure, natural gas to support these data centers, which is something we don't agree with. We want I want a moratorium on data centers throughout the state. You know, when they build these kind of things, they float bonds just like we're going to intend to do. Now, we'll be able to get better rates with these being municipal bonds versus corporate bonds. Those rates generally are better. They are actually very sought after by investors as well. I mean, it's not, you know, you're right behind us.
The city has a solid bond rating and we do very well there. I guess my question is, though, how do you not increase the burden? I mean, we talk about when your budget comes up annually, and we're somewhere between $1.5 and $2 billion for the entire budget of the city of Milwaukee. How do you add bonding to that and still address all of the other concerns? I mean, you just had a years-long negotiation paying police and police officers. So you have firefighters, you have fire department saying each and every day, we need equipment replaced. I mean, there's so many other needs that are right on top of the city. How can you possibly do both?
Well, because when you have a utility entity that's run municipally, from a government accounting perspective, that's called an enterprise fund. So those things are completely self-sustaining. Now, to get to, I think, at the heart of your question, like, will the bond that we float plus running the operation result in a larger bill? I mean, I do not believe so. Result in a larger bill for the consumer? I do not believe so. I mean, that is to be determined because we don't know the acquisition price that we're going to have to pay. But for the cities that have this, you know, I grew up in Jefferson, Wisconsin, great town. You know, and last time I drove through there, there was the hammer and sickle flying over City Hall. And I'm just kidding when I say that, but they have a municipal utility in Jefferson. They have the socialism I'm arguing for in Milwaukee. So does Oconomowoc. So does Elkhorn. So does Cedarburg, Stoughton. And last I looked, actually, here's the number I remember, Stoughton is paying approximately 12 cents per kilowatt hour or less. The residents of Stoughton, Wisconsin, right now, according to the Wisconsin Electric Utilities Association, and we're paying approximately 19 cents. So that is unreasonable, and that a lot of that is being driven by their profits. A huge amount of it is by their return, and it's not just the profits. I mean, they do owe back to their shareholders, but they're also paying, you know, part of that is the debt that they're paying. And so that's all built into the operation currently, and I think that the city of Milwaukee will be able to do that successfully. We right now operate a successful utility currently, which is our Milwaukee Waterworks. In fact, the Waterworks works so well that Waukesha is buying water from us. And if they really didn't think we were doing a good job, they would turn off the pipeline that we have of water, of fresh, clean Lake Michigan water that we have going to Waukesha every single day to serve
didn't
that
community. Didn't Waterworks just raise its rates something in the neighborhood of 10%?
I don't believe that was the exact amount that we raised. I couldn't tell you the exact amount that we raised, but here's the difference.
Okay, but I'm not absurdly off there.
No, no,
and those rates continue to increase.
I couldn't verify it, but I'll just say this. I mean, just setting aside the amount that was raised, to your point, the real question we have there when Waterworks raises its rates is we have a democratic discussion about that. We actually had, I sat on the Public Works Committee. We had a hearing. Constituents could contact us about this. So you look at We Energies when they make a proposal for rate increases, that's all done behind closed doors. That's done in the board of directors that is not elected by the residents of Milwaukee. I mean, there's not even a single person who stands for election on the board of We Energies, of WEC Energy Group right now. I mean, if they wanted to show goodwill to the community, maybe they could offer that as a piece. But we have a fully elected common council that hears the commissioner of public works and the superintendent of the waterworks have to come to us and make a case. And we have to argue about it in public where the TV cameras can be, where, you know, folks like you can comment on it. And that's great. I think that we have these democratic discussions.
I want to get to a break, Alderman. Mm-hmm. Can you hang for one more break? Let's Andrew is producing the program. We're going to take a break, and then we'll continue with Eastside Alderman Alex Brower on this proposal to move Milwaukee off the We Energies power grid. Just one more follow-up on an important area we have not yet explored. That is next. 8:29 in Wisconsin's Morning News. I'm way over time, but I wanted to hold Alderman Alex Brower with us for one more segment because I got a couple more follow-ups on this issue of Milwaukee potentially moving off the We Energies power grid, creating its own energy utility with noble intentions, obviously, to save taxpayers money, to save residents money, Alderman. My question next is on the issue of reliability. Who would run this utility if the city takes it over? And how do you address concerns from residents who complain regularly about the leaves not getting picked up or their street not getting plowed? And now we're talking about something that's far more serious as to whether their lights even go on.
Oh, yeah, totally. There's pieces, and thank you so much, Vince, and there's pieces of the city of Milwaukee's infrastructure and operations that do leave a lot to be desired. I'm fighting for us to have the best infrastructure and operations that we possibly can in the city of Milwaukee. That's why part of the reason we brought the raise for the city workers for this year, and we're looking to, you know, make sure every single position is filled. On the question of reliability nationally, consumers who pay their utility bills to a municipal utility have half as much downtime, half as much outage time as those who are served by investor-owned utilities. The stats are there that reliability is through the roof with these kind of operations.
But aren't many of these that started that way? Like 100 years ago, they created it because they lived next to a river and they built a hydroelectric plant, and that's how they powered their community. Not ones that have converted in modern times?
Most of them are small towns. That's correct. The largest conversion that happened recently was Long Island. Their private investor-owned utility switched to it's not a municipally owned one. It's a quasi-state run entity. But as far as reliability, you know, is concerned, we have a really good reliability rate with the utility that we currently operate, which is the Waterworks. And then additionally, as far as like the actual on the ground operations, we have a few different options. We could have the city run it, or we could have the option of having a third party entity manage the day-to-day operations as well. And that could be a way for us to avoid the city, those new workers coming under Act 10, so they can maintain, so our brothers and sisters at IBEW can maintain their private sector labor agreement that they enjoy with We Energies, which I support workers, and I completely support that. So those are a couple different options. But I'll say this about reliability and about all these things, these questions. We have an option when something is going wrong in your neighborhood. You have the option of calling your alderperson here in Milwaukee. And I receive calls from constituents all the time. Constituent services is the majority of my work, following up with departments, getting things fixed. And so we don't have that with We Energies currently. And so I really do think there actually will be more reliability. The stats show it. We have a nationwide network called the American Public Power Association that provides technical and other kinds of support for municipal utilities so that we can keep the lights on. And if we look at reliability, I mean, We Energies has less reliability than other municipal utilities that are operating currently in the state of Wisconsin. And so we'll be in partnership with them. There's an entity called WPPI that is like a corporation that serves municipal utilities all across the state of Wisconsin and sells electricity to them. They work there. So we're going to really be able to tap in to a network that will serve our community. And one of the things about this versus other pieces of the city's department is this would be a self-funding apparatus, whereas the roads, you know, we don't charge someone for driving on the roads. We do have a parking fees and a wheel tax, but we don't charge people for driving on the roads. So we don't have dedicated streams of income coming in like we really should to be able to fix and maintain our streets the way that our residents deserve. So it really is separate. I mean, that may sound a little silly to a listener, but it is a separate type of operation that will be self-sustaining financially.
Got to run. Alderman, thank you so much for coming in, answering the questions. I got a lot more questions. I know we're not done with this conversation.
I'll have to be back on
then. That's Alderman Alex Brower, Eastside Alderman for the city of Milwaukee. 8:40 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Coming up next, we'll have Brewers manager Pat Murphy joining us for Brewers 360 as the Brewers beat the Reds last night and continue with game two of a four-game set against the Reds here at home tonight. Just wrapping up some of the comments from Eastside Alderman Alex Brower, who I appreciate his willingness to come in and to answer the questions. Obviously, I've been critical of his proposal, and he knew that. I also don't believe in sandbagging people, Telly. So when I reached out to the alderman, I'm like, I don't know if you listen or I don't know if you've heard, but here's my position, and I'm going to challenge you on this and this and this and this. These are the questions that I want to ask you. And so he came in and he answered them. Where we disagree is, and I think I'm right on my number, $4 billion is my estimate on what it would cost for the city to move off the We Energies power grid. Let's say I'm half wrong and it's $2 billion. Still doesn't change my opinion that that's money that would not be restored for generations in the city, and money that, even despite the ultimate perhaps outcome a long time from now, is maybe being a net positive if you could get there. I just don't think we're in a position to do that fiscally right now.
But I also think, too, Vince, is there ever a time where a city can take on such a project? I mean, there's probably going to be a time it's probably never going to be a time where you'd be like, you know what? We have $4 billion to try this now.
Understanding that that's where he's coming from, the reliability, you know, let folks can debate that. This isn't done yet. The next thing they talked about, and we didn't have time to get into it, would be the feasibility study. My issue there as well is that the city would then spend hundreds of thousands of dollars at a minimum to conduct a feasibility study. I argued that I've done the feasibility study. It's too much money and it's not feasible. But Alderman Brower disagrees, and it's not the last that you will have heard from him or this proposal. It is 8:42 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Going to take a quick break, and then we get to Brewers manager Pat Murphy next on Brewers 360.
Manager of our Milwaukee Brewers, Pat Murphy.
This is wonderful. This is enjoy every minute of it, but this is about the Brewers. Don't forget it. The Brewers come first. Meet the game halfway. What the game calls for, get it done.
This is Brewers 360.
Brewers 360 is sponsored by Potawatomi Sportsbook, Ridgetop, and Cannon and Dunphy.
The 1-1. And a fly ball to center. Hit well. Friedel back. At the track, at the wall, Jolly goes deep!
And that was the difference for your Milwaukee Brewers. Joey Ortiz with a blast in the eighth. Brewers beat the Reds 5-3 and continue. They got their second game in this four-game set tonight at American Family Field. Brewers manager Pat Murphy on the line with us this morning. Murph, good morning. What an exciting way to have the bats come alive at just the right time.
Yeah, it was a great ball game. It really was. I mean, we were swinging the bat good early. We had good at-bats early, but we hit five line drives right at them and felt a little snake bit, but just stayed with it instead of feeling sorry for ourselves. We stayed after it and got it done in the sixth, seventh, and eighth.
Murph, you said during your post-game press conference that this was, quote, a Brewers type of win. Can you really go into detail what Brewer wins look like? Because you guys win often.
Yeah, no doubt. But the way you do that is you play with a little bit of an edge, and you play all nine. You go pitch to pitch. You don't have divided attention. You're not thinking about your numbers. You're not thinking about anything but this next pitch. It's hard to do. Easy to talk about, but very hard to do as a player when you got all sorts of distractions and things going on, an all-star game. Do I make it? Do I know? Got a contract. Maybe I should take it. Maybe I shouldn't. You know, all that stuff comes into play, and it's hard on some of these guys, and people may laugh at that, but it's hard when it comes to it's privileged, but when it comes to getting it done in a game, when you're trying to hit a round ball with a round bat, when the ball's moving, very, very difficult. And, yeah, you got to get down to the core. The core is being in the now, and we were in the now for the whole game, and we had to give them a little reminder about that, and they responded like we have throughout the last couple of years.
You know, on that point, Murph, I know you're tough on guys when they need to hear tough talk, and you don't mince words, and you let them know where they stand. On the flip side, when a guy has success, you can hear it in your voice, the real joy that you have for your ball players, like a Joey Ortiz, who needed that moment so badly, the joy that you have in watching them succeed.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, Joey's been an intricate part of this team that's, you know, won as many games as they've ever won in the franchise in the last 2 years with him playing shortstop and or third base. And he's been tremendous defensively. Offensively, he hasn't got it going to the level of major league average, but you know, he hangs in there. He cares so much. He's a great person. He's a great teammate. He doesn't take a day off. He does whatever's asked of him. And you know, he's frustrated. He wants more success. Now we sign a guy to a long-term deal that's a shortstop, so he has to move to third part-time, plays a little part-time short. Yeah, you know, it's tough on a kid. So for him to come through, I mean, his teammates were overjoyed. The staff was overjoyed. So, I mean, he's just a great kid.
Murph, most teams take on the personality of their manager, and if that is the case with this year's team, toughness has to be the first thing that you think of. And how are you doing? I know you've always made it about the team and the Brewers first, but the off day on Thursday, you had back surgery. And for you to return so quickly, that is A, toughness, but B, how are you feeling now?
Not good.
I thought you would have been okay, two-time manager of the year, if you would have asked for a few sick days, so to speak, and recover. Well, like, why wasn't that on the table?
I was there on Friday and managed on Friday. Saturday and Sunday, I really wasn't there. I was at the stadium, but I wasn't really able to focus and be part of it the way I like to. Mm-hmm. But yesterday I was back and felt a little better. Today I'm feeling worse, but I'm going to go at it again. I got a handful of pills in my hand right now for nerve pain and ibuprofen. And yeah, I mean, I got about everything you can take here, so that's not a narcotic. And yeah, just trying to get through it.
Well, you're right there with the team then, battling through 14 more in a row, if my count is correct, 14 games in a row. And even some of the guys have had some cramping issues. I can't even imagine here with the heat how much you're trying to stress. Guys, you got to take care of yourselves before you even get to the ballpark.
You do. I mean, there's a lot that goes into it. Again, I'm not – it's a privileged life for these young men, very privileged, but it's not easy. And anybody that thinks it is are wrong. To keep this level of talent, to you have people nipping at your legs the whole time to take your job and, you know, to do what they do and do it as well as they do, you know, is not easy. So, yeah, you do have to take care of yourself this time of year.
Murph, when you're going through these type of stretches, when you have so many games and so few days, what does the message become? I mean, because when you're in this stretch every day, you can't say the same thing and think people will be motivated. So is there anything you do differently during these tough stretches to make sure that guys stay fresh or as fresh as they possibly can?
Well, you got to get them some off days and the verbiage to them. I don't talk to them all that much. They know exactly where I'm coming from on a lot of things. I'll individually talk to them, but you know, you got to give them some off days. You got to give them some time away. You've got to let some other guys step up, if you will. But it's, you know, you can't stop playing the right way. If you're going to be in this, we call it the jungle. If you're going to be in the jungle, you've got to be able to handle the rules of the jungle. And it does not get easy. And it's anybody can beat anybody on any given day, which has been proven since the beginning of Major League Baseball. But it continues to prove itself. So many teams that are, you know, just close to 500. Anybody can beat you. You got to show up every day and you got to be ready. And if you're not ready, excuse yourself and we'll get somebody else in there.
Brewers manager Pat Murphy live with us this morning. It's a 6:40 first pitch tonight against the Reds. Keep hanging in there, Murph. Everybody's wishing you well. A lot of fans texting in saying, yeah, hope Murph is good. So we're thinking about you.
Thank you.
A little bit before 9 o'clock, as we mentioned on Monday's program, the potential for the National Weather Service to issue more heat-related warnings and advisories has manifested itself.
What? Is it hot?
Indeed, very hot through the week. National Weather Service extended the extreme heat warning through Wednesday evening now.
What's the weather like out there? It's hot. Damn hot. Real hot.
A few more details on the forecast here in a moment. First, weather adjacent and maybe an effort to really create the authentic European experience. You know, France just went through a deadly heat wave at temperatures above 100 degrees. That's the air temperature.
Wow.
Well, today they're going to start building the Eiffel Tower at Cathedral Square Park as they're preparing for Bastille Days. So that's the, I think it's, what do they have it here? I got the number. So 43 feet is the replica of the iconic structure. Bastille Days celebrating French culture. Not this weekend, but next. So it begins July 9th, but hot work today downtown as they start building out the Eiffel Tower. As for the rest of this week, from the National Weather Service, the extreme heat warning now extended through tomorrow night. And probably wouldn't shock anyone if they went a little bit further than that. Although Thursday's high is just 93 degrees.
just
93. We're at 95 today. Also from the National Weather Service, and this part's important, little relief at night. Overnight heat index values in the middle to upper 70s. Thunderstorm chances increase for Thursday and Friday. So we'll keep an eye on that as we rapidly approach the Independence Day weekend.